The big moment is finally here, Election Day. After so many speeches, scandals, debates, ads, polls, opinions, essays, predictions, and forecasts, we can finally put it all to rest. Who ran the best campaign? Well, maybe Donald, since he overcame so many insurmountable elements to make it a close race, including his own mouth. Who was better organized and connected? Hillary, undoubtedly. She has almost every journalist, paper, TV network, celebrity, and world leader behind her. Further, she was even aided by many off the record, and yet it is still a nail biter. Perhaps thanks to James Comey on that one. What kind of an administration would the Donald or Hillary run? Hard to say exactly, except that it's easy to point out that Hillary is status quo, whereas Trump would be an iconoclastic person and leader, unafraid to rock the boat and to stand up to others. Who will get the battlegrounds and states in flux? Impossible to know that, friends. Trump needs an inside straight. He's a few points behind right now. I think he's 3 points behind in the national poll. What's your prediction? Mine, Trump by 10 electors. But buckle up, sports fans. Today is going to be one heck of a ride. Kelly here. It is 6:08. Glad you could join me. And so these are the last few moments. And there is some fear of, fear of hacking, although I don't know. I mean, if Hillary's really ahead, why would they have to hack it? But Trump got a surprise. He got a surprise here from the Patriots, believe it or not. And let me pick that up for you. But anyway, Trump gets an official support from Tom Brady and from his coach Bill Belichick. And I think that I've got an explanation of that here from Trump. Pretty good. I mean, if you're going to pick up somebody's support in the sports world, I guess it would be hard to beat Brady, just like it's been hard to beat Brady this year. You know, he is doing so much better than any other quarterback by a mile. And for instance, he's at 73% completion rate. And I think I looked him up. The best he's ever done, I think, is 65. And his quarterback numbers, 133 rating, is 10 or 15 above the next person. So 12 touchdowns, zero interceptions. So you got to be impressed by that. But anyway, here is a little bit from Trump on his endorsement from Brady and from Bill Belichick. So not too bad, huh? The guy's barely had any endorsements whatsoever. His own party doesn't endorse him. And, his own party doesn't endorse him. And people like Paul Ryan wait till the very last minute to say they voted for him or they're supporting him. So if Trump does lose, and it looks like it's a reasonable possibility that he'll lose tonight, then then the party only has itself to blame. And I mean, how many elections can you lose before you're irrelevant? You know, I mean, so the Republicans have a control of the House and control of the Senate. They've not been able to really do much with that. And then you turn around and don't support your candidate because you don't believe that he's legitimate, even though he wins every race and becomes the party nominee. And so you've got this tremendous, I mean, I have never seen anything like this. When I say that, I'm not even saying that I really understand, feel like I understand it. I don't know if Paul Ryan kept his support back because he wanted to run for president next time. I don't know if he held it back because of people that were communicating to him or if he thought that Trump was such a bad person that he couldn't be supported. But, I mean, the upshot is that had the party joined behind Trump strongly at the beginning and just stuck with him until if he needed to drop out at some point, of course, they could pick somebody else and back somebody else. But I think this would be a different race. And then people wouldn't say, I'm a Republican, but I'm not going to support the candidate. I mean, at some point, if you have a party that does that, then you don't have a party anymore. And I'm not saying that there weren't objectionable things about Trump, but I found more objectionable things by far in Hillary. And I found Trump to be kind of an exciting person, willing to put a challenge on the powers that be on political correctness. I mean, if Hillary gets into this, I don't see anything to stop. And this is what these people, I think, the very short-sighted people, are overlooking. You can take issue with someone on particular details, but by fighting against Trump and begrudgingly supporting him or not supporting him at all, you're basically giving in to the opposition. You're allowing them to win a third party in a row when arguably they have not been successful in the last two terms. There's nothing that America is doing better except being politically correct than we were 8 or 10 years ago. So, and arguably the Bush presidency was in many ways failed and not a conservative movement. So you've had 1, 2, 3, 4. This would be going on 5 terms, 20 straight years of nothing close to conservatism. I mean, Bush, you know, George W. simply was not a conservative, which is why he started a war, which is why he deficit spent, which is why he never vetoed any legislation. So the GOP, even though it seems powerful at the state level and in the National Congress, can't get over the hump. And it is the policy, it is the habit of the opposite party. They're going to drive you into extinction because they're going to take every opportunity, as they've done for decades, to say, if you're a Republican, you're a bad person. So 617, that's what I think is at stake here. Also the economy, also the world preeminence in terms of military power. If you lose your will to fight, then you don't need a military. And then everybody can just mind their own business. And whoever wants to take advantage of another country, if they have the strength, China, Russia, any other country, is able to do so. So anyway, 523-1450, and we'll be right back. And Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And actually, I got 2 malfunctioning computers. I can't remember when this happened before, but here we go. We'll be right back, folks. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 on KOBE. All right, so let me get down to the, well, I had mentioned the other day, maybe yesterday, down to the electoral poll that we have from Real Clear Politics. And it says in the Clinton column, you can put 203 electors, Trump and Pence 164. So really not that far off, but, you know, enough. 40 votes, and then toss-ups are 171. So the states that are absolutely in the column for Hillary include California, New York, of course, Hawaii, Vermont, Massachusetts, Maryland, and D.C. You know, so it's, I mean, the map of the United States looks more red than it does. But unfortunately for Trump and his supporters, the other states are not as new, you know, as not as populous as California and New York, which can be written off basically, I mean, pretty much every time for the Democrats, which gives you 29 plus 55, 70, 80, 84 votes. And about a third of the way to the, you know, so you've got a third that you can put in your pocket. And then there are places that are very reliable for the Republicans, which tend to be more in the Bible Belt. The ones that are absolutely supposed to be voting for Trump, Dakota, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky and West Virginia, and then you've got a couple of pink ones or less than fully red: Utah, Texas, South Dakota, Montana, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, Tennessee, and then you've got one South Carolina that's pinkish, and then you've got a whole bunch of battleground states: Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan is, believe it or not, is in the open. Maine, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada. I think New Mexico is down to a 3-point lead for Hillary. So that's the state of the race right now. And, you know, it is a kind of a nail biter, but as they say, there's 3 points ahead. Hillary got the reprieve from the FBI just when she needed to, which was just a day or two before the election. So it could, so it could get out there. All right, so let's take a break here, and I'm going to try to find some more up-to-date, up-to-the-moment polls for you on what's going on the latest. 625 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. I don't know if my phone is still broken, but it could be. We'll be right back. Here's a little dedication to our great land, the greatest country in history, America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. All right, I've got some poll information for you. And, you know, so this race has gone back and forth, and it's kind of minute by minute, depending on whether the FBI is investigating Hillary, whether the Donald has insulted somebody else, whether the WikiLeaks point out that Hillary is running a massive, massive campaign of corruption out of her foundation. And it is exciting. So the trend, I'll just sum up the trend that has occurred in this in these last few days, is that the polls have improved for Hillary overall, but the state status of battleground or the status of the battleground states has improved for Trump, and that may not make any sense, but there's national polling. And, you know, if, for example, if everybody in New York or everybody in California decides that they're voting for Hillary, that may put on, you know, that tens of millions of people, but that's not going to affect the vote, if you see what I mean. So here is here is the state of the Fox electoral map and polls. It is tight, and we are in a battleground state right now. You know, I'm going to switch to another clip here for you. Here is regarding the swing states. Somebody has got to get the swing states. Obviously, somebody's going to end up with them. But Trump needs, when I said an inside straight, he needs to get all of the Romney states, but plus a couple of formerly blue states. So. All right, so that's obviously not exactly what I was hoping to hear there in terms of the swing states, but I've got some polling, 11th hour polling, and this is from the Kelly file. All right, so let's take a little break here and... 641 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. All right, so before you get too depressed thinking that the race is over and you don't go out and vote, I don't at all think that Hillary's got it in the bag. But here is Kellyanne Conway, who took over the Trump campaign and really really put in a lot of kind of settled him down. Six paths to 270 is the title of this clip. All right, so none of these clips really have what the titles claim, but I do have here for you something you might find entertaining, even if you're a Hillary lover, which I know that there's plenty of you who listen in. It would be interesting to just watch what she did if she got into office, which we may have an opportunity to do. They had another clip of her kind of stumbling a little bit, I think, from yesterday, getting into a plane. So I don't know if she gets elected how long her health is going to hold out. But here is Why Women Hate Hillary Clinton from Mark Dice. He's just going up the boardwalk on in some, probably San Diego or someplace like that, to interview women on their feelings of Hillary Clinton. All right, so from Mark Dice, but somebody had asked me to talk about there was a story out there that I had actually spent a little bit of time reading about, having to do with Satanism and the campaign, and they wanted to know, and there was something else, pedophilia, that was kind of put in there. Now, to preface this subject, I don't claim to have any information about it specifically, other than than what had come out in WikiLeaks and then what they had talked about that. Supposedly, there was the most salacious aspect of this was there were supposedly code words in statements from WikiLeaks having to do with pedophilia. And so you would have to buy into the idea that these guys were communicating with one another, John Podesta and other people, Hillary Clinton, whoever else it was, and trying to set up assignations, trysts, whatever. Now, there was a weird weird statement about we're going to have a great time tonight. We're going to have the hot tub and we're going to have kids in the hot tub ages 7 and 8, which was difficult to interpret it in so much as why would you say to somebody, join us in the hot tub with this 6 and 7 year old girls? That doesn't make any sense, but I don't claim that these people are pedophiles. I don't know anything about that, but that was the interpretation of this. And Alex Jones had gone on to his channel and had talked a lot about it and cried and said, we're not going to take this anymore kind of a thing. But the other part that there was actually a lot more substance on was a dinner that was being held at John Podesta's brother's house. Now, John Podesta is the head of the Hillary campaign, so he's right in the very center of the power and the influence. And he has been in Washington, D.C. for years, and he has helped out Obama. He helped out Clinton. He's kind of a nerd. He's the guy that was into UFOs. Now, they were having a spirit dinner, and I had collected a bunch of stuff, and then I ended up not talking about it on the air for one reason or another, but mainly just because I don't think I had left enough time for it. But I thought it was kind of fascinating that they were doing a dinner in which they claimed to be doing, I mean, they claim to be doing satanic things, including the eating or the ingesting of bodily fluids, including blood and semen, which, so this lady who had designed this performance art had this dinner and it was, had a certain satanic, you know, theme to it. So whether these people are, Satanists, I don't know, but I can't imagine somebody going to a dinner with a satanic theme who didn't have some level of interest in the occult, you know. So when we break on the air, when we come back, I'll play you something from that, just one of the stories about that. But it was, you know, it was kind of troubling, and what it reminded me of is that we've got this sea change, this massive change in religious sentiments and commitments in this country, and we are basically walking away in large numbers from Christianity. The children of Christians, to a large extent, are not going to church, and they're not self-identifying as Christians, and many of them are moving into atheism and agnosticism, and then others are getting involved in the occult and Satanism. So it kind of is it's symbolic of that, but it's also a little bit troubling, the idea that the people that could be running the country very quickly, very soon, have so little connection with the history of America that they don't even care about the religion, and it wouldn't bother them to be around Satanism or even practice it. I don't know. I don't really, you know, I try not to make any claims unless I can back them up, but it is out there already. 659 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 2314 to call in. We'll come back after break on the hour to pick that up again. I'll just give you a little information on it. Okay, so it is election day and everybody's on pins and needles. I was going to tell you about this story about. Actually, I've got to basically. Let me reboot this computer. So I don't know. The idea of it sounds implausible to me, but there have been some people, for whatever reason, that have gotten into worshiping Satan. So, you know, how exactly that plays out, or what people were thinking, I couldn't really tell you. But there have been various outbreaks of Satanism since. Since probably Christ came along, the idea of Satan is more developed in the New Testament. So, a lot of people that are into the earth, they're into worshiping Gaia, or they're, you know, people in that would be inevitably on the far left. Some certain small percentage of these people would find it to be a little bit interesting to take their worship of the earth a little bit farther, and that's the way some of them would do it. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds to me highly unlikely and a complete waste of time. And you know, one of the questions I wanted to throw at you is, if you buy into this idea that there is a Satan, let's just say there is a Satan out there for the sake of the argument, if you worship Satan, are there benefits? I mean, if you worship Satan, would Satan do things for you, for example? Would it be similar to worshiping God? I mean, according to the Christian belief, Satan has derivative power. God has original power. Satan has derivative power. So, you know, if you prayed to Satan, would he answer a prayer? Could he answer a prayer if there was a Satan? So a lot of questions out there. But I would think that a lot of people who are involved in Satanism would say, we're not really worshiping evil. What we're doing is we're fighting back against the power. We're resisting the resident paradigm. We're getting rid of this stupid idea of the Bible and God and everything. And we're doing that through Satan. And that's what the early socialists did, by the way. Here is a little bit on this story. Okay, so the lady who did the Satan dinner, Marina Abramovich, which is mentioned in the Podesta email, and so she did this cooking that included bodily fluids, prominently blood and semen. Now, why anybody would want to eat either one of those, human blood or human semen? But anyway, here is a little clip on this, because it is kind of inherently fascinating. I'm not saying that I believe these people do this, but why would you go to a dinner that had a satanic theme if you didn't at some level buy into it? Anyway, here we go. All right, so anyway, just not to get into that too much more, but that is the claim out there, that there was this party, and as part of the party, or part of this dinner, had a satanic theme, and this woman is a performance artist. Now, they contacted her, and she said something along the lines of, characterizing this is performance art. You know, why you would want to do performance art like that, I don't know, but it must say something about what you believe and such. So she has done a lot of crazy things, but all right. There is something else that's been mentioned, though, that's kind of fascinating that I did some research on. There's a lady by the name of Silsby, and she was involved in a Baptist church in Idaho. And so she went over to Haiti after the earthquake to start a mission, an orphanage. And so she ends up in, supposedly was supposed to open the orphanage in Costa Rica, but she never put any paperwork in for that. She ended up going to, and I was going to play you clips for this stuff, but I don't really, you know, time is short and everything. So I'll just tell you about it. All right. So she, under the appearance of being a very good person going over from this church, this Baptist church in Idaho, she goes over to Haiti with a bunch of church workers, say 10 people. They end up getting arrested. And I don't know if you remember this, but this was kind of a big deal. Now, they found out in the WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton was following this lady and had been aware of her somehow since 2001. And don't forget the earthquake in Haiti is, you know, many, many years later. Basically, according to Haiti is a place that's famous for, you know, being backwards and very poor and downtrodden and everything. It would be a great place to get kids from to put them in a better situation, especially if their parents were killed in this earthquake. The funny thing is, though, the kids that she was getting, she was telling the Haitian people or the Haitian authorities at the border that the kids were orphans. They were all orphans, and they weren't orphans. So anyway, so she lies across the board. Now, if you see her interviewed, she seems like just a very ordinary, nice lady. But there was something weird going on between her and Hillary and this orphanage and why she wanted to get these kids and why she repeatedly lied about it. And the people in Haiti, the state administrators, the authorities said, went out of their way to point out that she was basically a pathological liar. And the attorney that helped get these, because they were arrested by the Haitian authorities for illegally taking children out of the country or trying to, they were arrested, and their attorney was a sex offender, was a registered sex offender, pedophile, whatever he was. It's just totally weird. So you've got this in the story of the Clintons running this time, you've got a lot of things coming out. Another thing that came out too was that Bill Clinton had said that he was very influenced by voodoo and that he felt like it exposed him to spiritual powers. He's on tape saying this, or he's written in his book about this. And so he and Hillary, I think they honeymooned in Haiti. And Haiti is the home of voodoo. So it's just a very, very weird angle to this thing, and I'm sure it's not going to lead to anything. The real truth is probably going to lay obscure and out of sight for all time, but there does seem to be a very strange spiritual element to the Hillary camp, to Hillary herself, and to Bill Clinton even. So 720, whether it had anything to do with pedophilia, I have no idea. I have no comment. Don't have enough information on that, although that's the claim out there. And with any of these other parties, and I don't have really an opinion whether anybody was practicing Satanism, but I would like to know why somebody would want to go to a Satanist party. 721 Kelly O'Connell will come back and look into some polls. 523-1450, only because somebody had called up and asked about it. But I wanted to let you know that there is something, some substance to this, but how much, I couldn't even really tell you, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. One other is they did use for this party the schedule or the menu from this guy, Aleister Crowley, who was a very weird guy, a very rebellious person who was into Satan his entire life, and wrote books like the Necronomicon, which was a satanic book. So all of this stuff out there doesn't really leave you with a good taste, but let's move on and talk about what's going on in the election today. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We'll be back. Well, who do you think is going to win this thing? I'm really interested. You know, the one of the things that came out is that the election could be rigged, and that's been a theme that's been put out by both sides. It was initially put out by Trump, and then Hillary said basically that that's a bunch of nonsense. But then they people like Drudge found a lot of stuff where the Democrats had claimed in the past that the polling had been either rigged or elections had been thrown, like Al Gore in Florida. And so what came out a little bit later was this idea that, although it was presented earlier, I think Arizona and Illinois, that there had been a probe by somebody into the election, the computer systems, and the idea that somebody from overseas could rig the election. And I'm sure that if Hillary loses, she might suggest that it could have been Putin or whoever. But it is then the federal government said, we're going to run the elections, which was just kind of out of nowhere, you know, which I do, as far as I know, has not taken place. But, you know, it's, we've been talking about this for months. We've probably talking about this for a year off and on. It is absolutely fascinating how this thing is, has played out. Now here is Florida and North Carolina from ABC News. And this is from yesterday. All right, so I don't know. You know, it's pins and needles. It seems, I don't know, it seems a little bit unlikely that, that Trump would pull that off. But, you know, here's the thing. What you've got is momentum in the states that that counteracts this, this national, I think, bounce back for Clinton as soon as she was cleared by the second whatever happened with Comey. I mean, I think what Comey did was terrible, but it helped Donald. And if he hadn't done the second investigation, then I think supposedly to the national polls, he would be back. But it, there's another theme out there, and the theme is that there's under polling, there's under, that, you know, that they've overpolled Democrats, and also that there's shy Trump voters who are afraid to tell who they're voting for. And that's why you see, you know, Brady and Belichick voting for Trump and then admitting it, giving him an endorsement is such a huge deal to him, because he's got virtually no, you know, celebrity support, political support. So it's been incredible. This guy's been able to hang in there. We'll take a break here, 7:30, and, you're listening to AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell on AM 1450 on KOBE. 523-1450. I don't know if they've fixed the phone yet, but you can call in and make a statement, a prediction. Feel free to call in and give your prediction. But, boy, real nail biter here. We'll be right back. All right, so, man, it's just so exciting, and it's so. I honestly know that I've been flogging this election for a long time, but I am going to be so glad when this thing is over. Now, here's a story. Leaked documents reveal billionaire George Soros spends hundreds of millions of dollars to manipulate American elections. And this is from PJ Media. And the billionaire and convicted felon, he was convicted in the court in Europe of insider trading, basically. The story says the billionaire and convicted felon moved hundreds of millions of dollars in the often secret efforts to change election laws, fuel litigation to attack election integrity measures, push public narratives about voter fraud, and to integrate the political ground game of the left with efforts to scare racial minority groups about voting rights threats. And so he is almost personally responsible for Black Lives Matter. He's the one who's funded us, who's funded this, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like the phone is fixed.
All right.
Well, oh, wait a minute. It just kind of popped. So say something else.
Hey, I know who's going to win, who's going to lose.
I can barely hear you. So you know who can win, who's going to win and who's going to lose. Who is it?
Going to lose is the American people are going to lose, and who's going to win is either Trump or Hillary. And I don't know, people don't realize how serious this is, that we're going to turn over the country to one of either two lunatics. It's just ridiculous. I can't stand it anymore.
All right, so Roger, if you can't hear him, is saying that the one of the candidates is going to win and America is going to lose because both of them are lunatics. All right, Roger. What's the but who do you think's going to win the between the two?
I don't know. It's kind of neck and neck. I'm not sure. It looks like it's leaning slightly towards Hillary, but I don't know. Anything can happen.
Yeah, that's so true. Thanks for the call, Roger.
Depends on who turns out to vote.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Bye bye. Sorry about that, folks. I did put in a notice that there was something wrong with the call-in line, so I appreciate your patience on that. Here, we'll take a break and be right back. Kelly got a 737 flying the bumpy skies on the day of election. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450 on KOBE. We'll be right back. It's Kelly. Hold on one second. It's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, your phone was working, okay, guy?
The phone's working?
Yeah, the phone was working. I could hear Roger with no problem at all.
When he first called in, it was clear to me, and then it suddenly piped down. I don't know what's going on. I can't hear it very well here, but if you can hear it over the air, I appreciate you calling in.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you. Hey, who is this?
Hi, this is Marty.
Hey, what's going on, man? I can barely hear you.
Sir, I just want to get your take. I want to know what your opinion is on the race between Nathan Small and Andy Nuno, between Hillary and Donald, of course. And then I have another one I want.
Okay, can I put you on hold, Marty, and I'll bring it on the air? Marty,
sure.
Okay, thanks. All right, folks, we got Marty. And folks, if you call in and I say, can I put you on a hold and I'll bring you back on the air? I'm sorry, sometimes the ads take a little while. But Marty was going to ask what I thought about the race between Nathan Small and his candidate. And, you know, I really haven't heard that much. I think he's running against Andy Nunez. So I think Andy Nunez has support in his community, certainly a great deal, because he's the mayor there and people know him. The question is how it's going to play outside of the community over here and outside of Hatch. And I think that the ads that have been run have been devastating, but I don't know, you know, I don't really know what the impact of the negative ads are, but you know, none of these candidates, if there was a false ad that was run, ever got up and said, you know, I want to disavow this ad, because they're gaining from it, whether it's Joanne Ferrari or Nathan Small or whatever, Jeff Steinborn, whoever had the ads that were benefiting them. So I don't know if Jeff's Small, Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, and Joanne Ferrari were the recipients, were the beneficiaries of these extraordinarily, you know, bitter ads. And, you know, and it was money that had come out of the Northeast. So, some of the money that went into, believe it or not, was paid for by the mayor of New York for some sort of an anti-gun group. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have a feel for who's going to win the Nunez race. But, I mean, I was kind of wondering how they were going to do it, because Andy was so popular and had been in office for so long, and I think was seen as kind of a man of the people and down to earth and everything. But now I see that they had these negative ads that were so deep, you know, they ran them for so long, and there was, and I called up Dr. McMillan and asked him if he wanted to come on, and he came on a couple of times. But, you know, sometimes people hear something one time or a few times, and then they don't hear the response to it in the first place. And the second place is sometimes people hear something negative and they choose to believe that. They hear the negative thing first, and they develop a bad opinion of the person who's the recipient or who's the target of it. So I don't know. That's one of the fascinating things. Now, one of the interesting things is they say that the Senate is, the U.S. Senate is going to possibly change hands, although the House won't. We do have a call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
President Hillary Clinton all the way home, 300, 400 electoral college votes. You're, it's all done for you guys. That's it.
Spoken like a true cuck, as they say. So Frankie, have you been waiting in the weeds for 6 months to make this phone call?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been so busy, you know, doing everything I could possibly humanly do to support the Democratic, liberal, progressive, communist ticket. You know what I mean?
Especially the communist. No, and so, no, Frank.
I just threw that in.
No, I know.
I knew that was going to get a rise out of you.
Well, it's, you know,
I'm not,
it's
any more communist than you are a sea urchin.
You shouldn't say that until you've met me. My hair does occasionally resemble a sea urchin's feelers. But
yeah. Let me tell you, this is why Hillary's going to win.
Okay.
You know, and this is great news. I mean, I'll just give you two actual reasons, two solid reasons. One, number one, there's an elementary school, I can't remember where it is, but these little elementary kids, 5-6 years old, for 48 years have never once lost who they said was going to be president. And this year, 51-41 is Hillary over the Trumper. The other point is, the stock market went nutso yesterday.
Yeah.
Why? Because they saw that Hillary was not going to get jammed up and go to jail in some trumped up nonsense that you conservatives keep throwing on her. You know, so 300. So all the money people are for Hillary, not these less than college educated bimbos that are going for the Trumper guy. What do you think of that?
Well, you shouldn't talk about your fellow liberals like that, you know. Yeah, but I think that the market wants stability. The market wants to know what's in the future, and so it can predict it. And I think it was reacting. I don't think that market is in love with Hillary, therefore it flipped out until she got off. I think that the idea that she would go into office and then be under indictment or scrutiny is a terrible thing for the market, because then you don't know what the market is, you know, what the future holds.
I'll grant you that. That was a reasonable assumption. You know, well stated. I'll have to give you that.
No, I appreciate it. And so if Trump wins, what does the future hold?
Well, I'm just going to say, before.
Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Yeah, it's me, Frankie, here again. My phone died. I'm on the charger right now.
Oh, okay.
I was telling you what you asked me. What are we gonna do now? And I was in a, all of a sudden I didn't hear you, and I looked and my battery died.
Oh, okay. So
anyway.
Yo, hold on. Let's go back on the air. It's about 5 seconds.
Okay.
And we do have Frankie back for round two. We haven't heard from Frankie for months and months, and now he's back. Frankie, go ahead.
Well, it hasn't been months and months. Come on. I mean, it's been a few weeks, not months and months.
You have not called in a long time.
I've been texting you and stuff, you know.
But that's true.
Like I said, I've been very, very busy working my tuchus off, you know, helping out the Democrats where I can. Anyway, I just didn't have enough time, you know, to sit there and chat with you. Plus, I didn't want to put any voodoo stuff on myself by calling you. I could have affected, you know, the results here. But anyway, you asked, you know, what do we have to do now? Meaning us Democrats. You know, Hillary wins. That's good. But if she doesn't get the Senate, right, then we're going to have gridlock 14 different ways because all the Republicans, conservatives, these far right nut jobs are going to be doing nothing but investigations and some more of this other stupid nonsense. Nothing's going to get done. So that's what we got to really concentrate on.
So people are going to cooperate with Hillary, but they're not going to cooperate with Trump.
Hillary's more level-headed, more, you know, not screwy. You know, Trump, I mean, come on, give me a break, Kelly. You can't be serious that this guy, I mean, if you ever took psychology, you know, they got what we call the DSM-4, 5, I think they got now, you know, the Diagnostic Standards Manual, psychiatrists and psychologists
yes,
use.
Yes,
listen, the man is almost borderline psychotic. Come on.
Hold on a second. If that's true about Trump, then what does that mean about Hillary? It's even she's even worse. She's absolute. They say that she's a pathological liar, that she can't stop lying. So why would you prefer one over the other?
Oh, my goodness. Where she has been a pathological. Nothing has been proven that she's lying.
Gosh.
Trump lies. He lies more than a dog with fleas. Come on.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. He lies more than a dog with fleas. That's not even a metaphor. That's
okay. Well, you know what I was trying to say. You know, lies with that. You know what I was saying. He lies more.
All right. No, I don't accept that. And I mean, you know, even her backers admit that she's got a problem telling the truth. They just don't care about that. But anyway,
I don't know where she had told the truth. She was testified 11 hours in the Benghazi committee.
All right.
And then
how about this?
People on that Republican side didn't find
how about
anything.
How about this? She didn't tell the truth about what James Comey said about her. She said that James Comey had cleared her. He said, I haven't cleared her. She said that James Comey said that I told the truth. He said, I did not say that she told the truth. She said, I didn't send any classified emails. James Comey said she did send classified emails. She told James Comey she had one device and she had 14. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I shouldn't have to prove this stuff to you.
Oh, you are just like that other guy, that Sean Head is Batty, singing that same song over and over about this business with this. You keep playing that thing on Foul Noise Network. Listen, she was not indicted. James Comey gave her a clean bill of health not once but twice. It's over. I don't care what you say about these email things. Everybody says, get off that email. She hasn't been found guilty. It's done. It's finished. It's over.
All right. Okay, Frankie, thanks a lot. And, you know.
Okay. I'll call you back tomorrow so I can ha, ha, ha.
Okay. Oh, I'll look forward to that. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Edward.
Hey, Edward, what's going on?
Go Trump and this. You know, pothead liberals, they can say anything they want. They're in denial. That's the problem with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, she's a pathological liar. There's nothing with her and her husband, both of them, that say between the I did not have sex with that woman and her, I did not delete my, you know, sensitive emails.
Right.
You know why? What I don't understand, how she got away with tampering my evidence. You know, once you're under, you're a lawyer and you know, once you're under investigation, if you get rid of the evidence,
yeah,
you
she
can be charged with tampering
right.
with evidence, even if there's nothing found.
Well, I think the real scandal is in the Clinton Foundation, but I do agree with you that it is amazing that she didn't get prosecuted. But you know, it takes the political will. There's no political will in the elite class to prosecute her.
Yes, I agree. And like I said, you're an attorney. And another thing, what I don't understand, this one is both parties. You know, to appoint a Supreme Court justice, I don't understand why should the, you know, the person who gets nominated should be party, you know, partisan side. Because if you're an attorney, you should follow the law, not your own personal instincts.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Marty, thanks a lot, and appreciate the call-in and the listenership. Okay, go Trump. Yeah, all right, so that's my argument, is that vote Trump because he's the one person who can change the system. He can take it on for the same reason that he seems unpleasant sometimes, that he's insulting. He can stand up. He's not afraid to stand up to the entire world, obviously, because everybody's against him. If you vote in Hillary, you're going to get the same situation that we've had. She said, I'm going to do a third term of Obama. And, you know, so anyway, Kelly O'Connell, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great election day and we'll meet back tomorrow. Ciao. 759 AM Las Cruces, KOBE.